Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you, good book study. My name is Elaine D. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Wednesday, October 23rd, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we're on page 63 in the chapter How It Works. We will be reading and commenting on one paragraph, the second paragraph, which begins with, "We were now at step three." Today's readers are Miriam Rivka with the 12 steps, Tammy L. with the 12 traditions, Penny L. C., Alice G. Thank you so much for your service today. We'll also have Nan K. welcoming newcomers at the end of the meeting and getting names from available sponsors. Be sure to stick around for that after the recording ends. And we'll have Leslie W. have some special announcements for you. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 13556. So for Tuesday, October 22nd, the number is 13556. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for October 23rd, Wednesday, is 13562. That's 13562. COA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer, our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So I'll ask Miriam Rivka H. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Miriam Rivka H. in New Jersey. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Miriam Rivka. And I will now ask Tammy L. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. My name is Tammy L., compulsive overeater in Maryland. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Tammy L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. When you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then please press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter How It Works. We are on page 63, and we are in paragraph 2, and I will now ask Penny L.C. to please read and comment on that paragraph for us.
Good morning, Elaine, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington, and this is the Big Book. We were now at step 3. Many of us said to our Maker, as we understood him, God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help, of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. We thought well before taking this step, making sure we were ready, that we could at last abandon ourselves utterly to him. And in reflection on this prayer and this paragraph, I know that this is my step of ultimate surrender. I'm willing to turn my will and my life over to the care of my higher power. And I would mention that as we understood him is in italics, again reinforcing that each one of us has the opportunity to choose our higher power, that higher power that works for us. So even though the word is God is used here, you know, you can say higher power, you can say whatever term that you have given your higher power, it still works. And so what is this prayer? This is a chance for me to decide that I'm going to stop doing what I've been doing and be willing to change, be willing to let God change me, you know, and to surrender all of me to God. It's a chance to basically allow my mind to be changed, to be reprogrammed, if you will. The wiring in my mind has been a little crossed up, and this is going to be a chance to get it straightened out. And what are my difficulties? Well, those are not my family members, my coworkers. My difficulties are my character defects. And I'm going to be doing the work coming ahead to do that. And so for that reason, this is just a beginning. And there is no amen at the end of this prayer, because it continues on until step seven, and we say the step seven prayer, and then the amen comes. So I have work to do, and I just need to be willing to do it and be open to change, and blessed that it has changed me the way it has. And thank you for everyone who's walked with me. With that, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Eileen. What a great start. Who else would like to comment on? Melanie C.
I hear Penny L.C. and Melanie C.
Elaine, I'm sorry. Penny L.C. that shared.
Oh, yes, Penny L.C. I'm so sorry. Yes, Penny L.C. that shared. Thank you. All right,
Leslie W.
Deborah S., and I heard Leslie W. in a man's voice.
Dave D.
Oh, Dave D. All right. And
Kathleen O.
Stacey J. Stacey
and
J.
I heard Kathleen O., and Stacey J. will be the first one on the next round. All right, that's what we got for now. All right, I have Penny L. C., Melanie C., Deborah S., Dave D., Leslie W., Kathleen O., and Stacey J. will get our next round kicked off. Wow, this is awesome. What a great paragraph. I cannot wait to hear what you have to say. We'll start. Oh, you know what? We already heard from Penny L.C., so Stacey J. is right in this lineup. Sorry, I'm not following a little switch change that we had here well. Okay, we're starting off with Melanie C., Deborah S., Stacey, Leslie W., Kathleen O., and Stacey J. Please go ahead, Melanie.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling in from Oregon. This particular prayer impacts me every single day. What I wanted to go through is the first experience that I had in the 3 minutes that I have here with this particular miraculous piece. I had thought well before taking this step, making sure that we were ready. That we could at last abandon ourselves utterly to God. Those are tall words for me, but certainly at the time when I had come to this place with my sponsor, felt very strongly that I had. And I renew that every single morning because I have to recalibrate every single day. I have a mind that works just like that. But my experience with this was quite a ceremonial thing, but it was so spiritually packed. I had candles in front of me, reflection that I had gone over the first couple of steps, seeing what had happened to me. By this time, I had been absent for a while. That was not possible for me. It just couldn't have happened. That in and of itself was miraculous, entirely abstinent to be able to even look at step three at all. And we said this prayer together, and on my knees in front of a group of people that I were strangers to me. I had never seen these people before at all, ever, and in their meeting. And it just moved me beyond words. It meant every single thing to me, and I was able to contemplate what was happening. I was in bondage of self. I had entrapped myself. This disease had made my world so terribly, terribly small that I was not able to see outside of was concerns for myself every single moment of every single day. To have the idea that I would be free from that bondage was just more than I could imagine. But day in and day out, that has been the truth for me, saying this prayer on a daily basis, because I never want to forget that I am in bondage to self as I continue to be self-reliant in any way, shape, or form, that I have this newfound place in which I can turn to every single thing that I have. It is a treatment for my disease. It's a treatment for my agitation. It's a treatment for my glory and my hallelujah moments as well. I had a situation yesterday where something was very, very fearful for me to do, and the work around fear inventory was effective to a point, yet I still needed to jump in and do this thing, and I had to do it by myself, and it involved something very, 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 very important and, quite frankly, financially huge, and I had to go in that room alone. And when I was done, the bondage of self, the freedom and fear that I felt and the transformation knew again once more that I had abandoned myself to God to do with me as he will. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Melanie C. Okay, Dora F., you're up next, and you will be followed by Dave D.
Hi, good morning, everyone, and good to hear you, Elaine. My name is Deborah S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And, you know, I, too, remember when I first took this step with my sponsor, got on my knees, and I getting on my knees is, and that word offer, to me, it brought me, you know, I had to humble myself. I had to get into a place of humility that, I don't know, for some reason that word offer denotes to me humility. And that's what we do here. We get out of ourselves, we make ourselves small because we're getting, with all this time I was playing God. I was making myself, you know, I knew everything. And at this point already, I'm committing myself, I'm giving myself, I'm submitting myself over, I'm offering myself to God. Will God have me to take care of me and to show me what he wants from me and to relieve me of the bondage of self? And that is very, very clear to me as I work these four, as I get into the fourth step. That's what it's all about, by exposing myself to, in writing, what I did, you know, my character defects, and then sharing it with another person, you know, so, you know, and sharing it with God as well. So to me, this is all about, like, as people, I'm not saying anything new, it says it in this prayer, just getting out of myself, because I was such a prisoner to myself and my self-seeking behaviors and my agenda. So this is something, you know, I do every day, multiple times each day. I need to offer myself to God to get me out of me. So that I, you know, so that I can be of service to others, and so that God could use me as you know, to be of service. And, you know, it's a very, very powerful prayer, and it keeps me grounded, to know that, to remember who I am today. I'm just another, you know, I'm a creation of God, and God is the power that I need to seek throughout the day, and only he can relieve me of this bondage. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too, Deborah F. Dave P., you are up next.
Morning, group. My name is Dave. I'm Dave D. I'm state of Washington also. A few years ago, I was doing some house sitting for one of my kids, and I had taken them to the airport, and so I decided I'd catch a meeting after that. And after the meeting, it's a wonderful meeting. They were very welcoming and whatever. Lady grabbed me by the elbow, and she said, "Come here." I said, "I beg your pardon?" She says, "Come here, just follow me." So we walked over to a different room, and there was about 10, 15 people sitting around in chairs in a circle. They kind of pulled these chairs around the circle, and somebody said, "We all here?" Everybody looked around and said, "Yep." Those that could got on their knees. Those that couldn't stood up or sat, and we all held hands. And they said the third step prayer. And they got up and walked out of the room. It took about 1 minute for this whole process to take place, maybe 2 minutes. Blew the top of my head off. I said to this lady, I said, how long have you been doing this? She said, oh, about 25 years. And I said, so who's staying abstinent? She said, everybody. I said, it was a remarkable, remarkable experience. Now, I'm not saying that we should all do that in our live meetings. I'm just saying that that was my experience for this group, that that psychic, which is called a spiritual change in our personality, was taking place daily there with these folks who chose to do it. A lot of the other people in the meeting had no interest in doing that. That was fine. But for those people in that group who took that time to hold hands and say that third step prayer, it was working for them. I tell you, it was quite an experience. Actually, let me share. This is Dave in Port Townsend.
Thank you, Dave. Excuse me. Very interesting. Okay. Leslie W., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Kathleen O.
Thanks, Elaine, for your service. I'm Leslie W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee, and this is a prayer that I say every day, sometimes multiple times a day. I love this prayer, and it's so relatable for me. You know, I do try and slow. This prayer is what I call my slowdown prayer. Because my personality is such that I'm like a steam train, and once I get going, once that train gets going on the track, it doesn't really want to stop. It doesn't really want to slow down. And this prayer helps me to slow down and to remember my purpose. I have memorized this prayer as I have others in the big book, but this one especially is meaningful for me simply because, you know, I remember the first time. I remember very vividly the first time that I took this prayer. That I took this step. And I was in my bathtub when I was living in Nashville, Tennessee, and I was new to the program about a year in, I guess, and I just could not get it. I had been a believer all, you know, most of my life, attended church, and I just thought that I had it. I mean, I thought that I could walk, as soon as I walked into the rooms, I thought that I could go ahead and start on step four, because I thought that I had 1, 2, and 3, because I thought I had already turned my life over many years ago. Somehow I had compartmentalized my addiction to food as something that justified it as something that was mine to deal with, and God just did not have the time, and He did not care enough to help me with this, and that I was on my own. Sorry, I'm getting a little emotional talking about this. And I can remember just wanting to drown myself in my bathtub. 8 years ago, when I had a little baby crawling around and toddling around, and I literally thought that they would be better off, my husband and my baby would be better off without me in this world. And it was in that moment that God spoke to me and said, if I count every hair on your head, don't you think that I care about the food on your plate? And I knew that in that moment, that was not my own thought. And I took steps 1, 2, and 3 right there. And I read this paragraph, you know, and I will never forget that powerful moment that God chose to break through and speak to me and deliver those words of comfort. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Leslie W. Kathleen O., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Stacey J. Someone's on mute, Kathleen? I'm pretty sure I had heard Kathleen O. in the lineup. So maybe we will try Stacey J. and then come back to Kathleen O.
Hi, this is Stacey J. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Please go ahead.
All right. Thank you. I took this. I've done this prayer daily for a long time, but I've been struggling. I had been struggling with relapse for several years, and I now have 39 days of continuous abstinence, and I'm working step 8 starting yesterday. And I've been asking myself, what is different this time? You know, I did this prayer and have done this prayer on my knees for such a long time, and I feel like there's something gave up in me that maybe hadn't given up in me before. You know, sort of like a long exhale. And I, reading this, I think about, like, I was just praying before speaking, asking to, like, be an instrument of my higher power as well in talking here today. And I feel like that's what this prayer is saying, is make me an instrument of thy will, of my higher power's will. And I think I have a bit of a musical background, and I think about the different instruments I've played. And, you know, when you pick up an instrument like a saxophone, it sounds a certain way. And when you pick up a clarinet or a trumpet, it sounds a different way. And each of us, you know, I feel like when our higher power uses us for a divine purpose, we still have our individual beautiful sounds, but you know, together it creates a symphony. And I don't know what the music is. Like, I didn't write it. And I just have my little notes in front of me to play that I don't even know what they're going to be. And I continue to be baffled about why this abstinence is given to me. I'm so grateful, and I don't feel like I'm doing it. That's another important thing to say. I feel like this prayer contains a surrender that's just not about self-will, and that self-will is a huge amount of my bondage, the bondage of self, that I've now seen so starkly in my four-step and giving it away. So I don't know. I continue to not understand how this works or why it works, but I do feel, I thought that maybe I'd run out of chances to have abstinence again. And I apparently not. I thank goodness my higher power is more forgiving than and generous than I ever imagined. So I continue to not understand this, but I think this prayer contains a doorway to go through to freedom, and I'm grateful for the freedom I have today. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Jay. Kathleen O, are you able to share?
I am. Thank you so much, Elaine. I'm sorry I went to press my unmute button and I hung up the phone.
Get back in time. I've done that. Thanks so much. Glad you're back.
So good morning, and thanks everyone. Thanks for your service, Elaine, and everyone for your really wonderful shares this morning on step 3. So I'm Kathleen O, recovered in Northern California, and I love this third step prayer. I've been saying it every day for years, and it just really helps me stay centered and remind me what I need to be doing, which is staying out of my own way. You know, step 3 is believing in our heart and our soul that something greater than us will guide and provide, you know, through difficulties and uncertainty. And if we just let go, relieve me of the bondage of self, self-will, selfishness, self-seeking, you know, I need to abandon my will, which is my crazy thinking. And I need to turn over my life, you know, which really are my actions, because all actions are born in thought. And if I think other people are my problem, well, guess what? I'm going to have problems, and they're going to be of my own making. I've proven that over and over again. But the third step is going to relieve us from the bondage of self so that we can be useful to our higher power and others. And that's where happiness really generates, in my opinion, in my experience. So when I listen to the voice, excuse me, of my higher power, and I keep the connection, I'm not only going to not overeat or want my binge foods, but I'm going to experience some joy and love and peace. And I can be compassionate rather than selfish. you know, and all of this, even in the worst or most challenging of times, it really is amazing. You know, there's that, the story, well, the analogy of the three frogs on a log. One makes a decision to jump off. How many frogs are left on the log? Well, there's three, because one frog only made a decision, didn't actually take the action. So step three asks us to make a decision, and it's a decision that's going to change our lives if we'll just take the plunge and jump. I haven't met anyone who's jumped into these steps wholeheartedly or taken this plunge and regretted it. So try it. It really does work. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Elaine.
Thank you very much, Kathleen O. We are reading, we have read, and we are commenting on the second paragraph on page 63. We were now at step three and ending with abandon ourselves utterly to him. Who would like to comment on that passage?
Lisa G.
Roz G.
I heard Lisa G. and Roz G.
Kelly S.
Did G.
Kelly S.
Irene B.
Irene B. I'm sorry, Linda
G.
Jordan L. Linda, I will write down your name, but I'm not sure if we'll have time to get to you.
Okay,
Linda
thank
G.
you.
And so I've got Lisa G., Roz G., Kelly S., Irene B., Jordan L., and Linda G. And if I didn't hear your name, I'm so sorry. I really look forward to hearing you another time or maybe meeting you at the conference. Remember to sign up. It's almost time. The deadline is tomorrow. Okay, so Liz G., you're going to be up, followed by Roz G., then Kelly S., Irene B., Jordan L., and Linda G. Please go ahead, Lisa.
Thank you, Elaine. This is Lisa G., recovering in Texas, and I'll make this very quick. When I've been in recovery for over 11 years and never had really taken this step, even though I'd said it a lot of times. But this time around in Vision, when it came to taking that step, and even the first and second step, just things that had happened in my past made me not trust God, not trust my higher power, even though I believed in a higher power. And I kept going around and around and around in my head, and I could not get off that merry-go-round of, should I take this step? If I don't trust God, how can I abandon my life and my will to him? And finally, after reading it so many times, I saw those italics as we understood God. And, you know, at that point in my life, which was just a few months ago, I didn't understand. I didn't understand why he let every single person in my family die of cancer. I didn't understand why shit happens. You know, I just didn't understand, but I didn't have to. So that was like a moment for me where I went, wow, okay, I can take this step because I don't have to understand everything about God right now to take the step. And it's been pretty awesome because now I'm on step 11 and I don't feel that same way about God anymore like I did on the day before I took step three. Like, I do trust God, and I don't know how. I have no idea how I do, but I do. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you for your share very much, Lisa G. Roz G., you're up next, followed by Kelly S.
Thank you so much. This is Roz G., recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And God, G-O-D, good orderly direction. And I believe these steps are in a godly direction, you know, good ordered direction, because in step two, I had to define, I had to have some attributes of God, of my higher power, because after 17 years in the program, I continued to relapse. I had a lot of blockings, misunderstanding of step one, and some hindrances of step two. And so in order to pray, you know, I prayed step three all the time. I prayed it. I memorized it. I was able to look, you know, hold hands with people at the end of the meeting. And, oh, I memorized it, you know. And it was kind of a vain thing for me. But recently I was encouraged to write my own version of the third step prayer, which I did. And I'm going to share it with you guys. Loving, caring, compassionate God, I start this day as an empty and willing vessel. Please write your will on my heart. May your radiance shine through me so that I may be helpful to others. And I still pray the third step prayer in the big book, but this is personal to me because I have defined and I haven't created God. No way would I ever think of doing something like that. But for my personal self, I have given God the attributes of being loving, kind, compassionate, caring, curious about me, and having a great sense of humor. And so when I begin my prayer with those attributes, I'm so much more open to hearing, and God is so kind and cares about me and is gentle and gracious to me. And in turn, that's how I'm treating others way more often than I used to. Thank you for your service. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Roz G. Kelly S., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Irene B.
Good morning, friends. It's Kelly S., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Oklahoma. God, I knew this was going to be a powerful meeting, so grateful to be on here today. And I love Roz to share. I'm one of those people, too, been around forever, and I had this step. You know, I had this prayer memorized, you know, and had a lot of awarenesses recently of how I've been giving a lot of verbiage or, you know, just saying these prayers by rote. Giving a lot of verbiage to what I'm doing in my program and seeing the truth to that today. And I do say this prayer every single day. And my sponsor and I say it when we close every morning. And, you know, I've just had some real awarenesses lately. It says in here, relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do your will. You know, again, it's not so that I'm comfortable, so that life's easier. You know, I shared yesterday on the earlier meeting, I just don't know where I got this memo. Life was going to be easier if I was doing everything right, you know. And it's so I can do your will. And, you know, to take away my difficulties so that victory over them would be of help to others, right? So not just so that I look like this great mom or great coworker. You know, my sponsor's always saying that to me. Am I doing these things for accolades, you know, so that I look so great? Or is it, you know, I think about that just for today thing, you know, doing something nice for somebody without being found out. Am I doing it to be of service, to show the power of this program, to show the power of my higher power? And, you know, I know there's no coincidences, and I've been reading in the back of the book, the Acceptance is the Answer chapter. And I got a paragraph yesterday that was just so eye-opening for me. And it says, because he's talking about his wife and life, of course. We all know that. And he's talking about, you know, our acceptance, our serenity is inversely proportional to our expectations. And the one of the last paragraphs he says is, acceptance is the key to my relationship with God. And I just had this awareness that, you know, I know I say, my verbiage is, I don't think God's a Santa Claus. I'm not giving him a list. But I have been, because I think that if I'm abstinent, I'm working the steps, I'm being of service, I'm doing my prayer and meditation, now things should go my way. I should be happier. You know, that's an awareness I've had, right? And so I put all these conditions on God, these expectations of what my program, what life is going to be like. And what I'm learning is my acceptance to God is not going to fix me. And I still get mad at him. Really, God? Really? Okay. So what I'm realizing is I'm leaning into God. He is my strength. He's not going to take away my difficulties just to make my life easier. He's going to give me the strength and the power to get through these things. We walk hand in hand. We're in partnership. I'm conforming my will with my higher power. He's giving me the strength to get through this stuff so that I can show people the power of the program. I can show my family what the
gentle reminder.
Thank you. I forgot to set my timer. So with that, I will pass. Thank you guys so much for all the wonderful shares.
Thank you, Kelly S., for your wonderful share. Irene D., you're up now, and Jordan L. will follow you.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you to everyone who shared so beautifully this morning. What a powerful meeting. I am Irene B., a very gratefully recovering bulimic from Louisiana. I'm going to try to make this quick. I just feel like I had a spiritual awakening this morning. I've been praying to God for clarity. It's like, what do I need to work on? What do I need to work on? Why am I so messed up? Why do I have so many difficulties? And then I got clarity. God is amazing. The Holy Spirit is amazing. My difficulties, yes, my character defects, my self-defeating attitudes, behaviors, and core beliefs. And what are my difficulties? I want to share these with you because it's super important to me. It's overgeneralization, catastrophizing, mind reading, jumping to conclusions, comparing, judging, black and white thinking, entitlement, expectations, should, could, would statements, disqualifying the positive, particularly when it comes to me, emotional reasoning, personalization, needing external validation, dishonesty, resentment, insecurity, fear, control. Yeah, I have a few difficulties, and with God's help and with y'all's help, I'm getting to work this program that gives me clarity so that I know where I need to do my part, because God is not going to magically remove all these things from me. I have to be an active participant on trying to remove these behaviors. And with God's help, I will be able to do this a little bit better every day until the day I die, because I will never achieve perfection. And with that, I pass, and thank you so much for your service and your beautiful shares, folks. Bye-bye.
Yes, thank you, Irene, and thank you, everyone. Jordan L., you are up next, and we will have time for Linda G. as well. So please go ahead, Jordan L.
Good morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado. I'm grateful to be on the line with you guys this morning. I'm going to miss you guys in New Jersey for the conference. I can't go, but I wish everyone a wonderful conference, because there's some pretty magical stuff that can happen when compulsive overeaters come together. So I consider this, I consider the third step that sort of turning point. And it's funny, I just made the correlation like just now, that it, like all of steps one and two are described in the book or outlined in the book. And we don't even find out about like the 12 steps that it's like going to be a thing until now, until this third step. And that's funny. That's funny to me only because that was kind of my own experience this time around. And that's after like having been around 12 step recovery for a really long time. But when I was walking through steps one and two, because they're very much experiential things in my experience, if you will. When I was walking through those steps, I was acting. I was sort of like in the action of like abandonment, if you will. By the time I got to step three, I didn't even know this at the time, but like I had arrived at the turning point, and I was ready to let go with complete abandon, because I had seen the problems that were occurring in my life because of me, and I didn't even know like the full extent or anything like that. But I had really bore witness to the things that you guys were talking about on this line. And it's funny because, like, my third step, I didn't know it at the time, and my sponsor didn't know it at the time. but we took my third step on the beach 2 years ago at OA birthday party. And it wasn't even my third step. Like, there was actually, there was another gal that was on her third step. And we all sat on the beach together in a circle on our knees, and we said that third step prayer. And that was it. Like, that was me asking for care and protection. That was the start of this journey of
gentle reminder
of getting to know the higher power that I now know these days with all my heart. So thank you. That's all I got.
Thank you so much. Linda G, please go ahead.
Good morning. I'm Linda G from Massachusetts, and I am a chronic relapser, and I finally was able to surrender and was really doing an incredible work with a sponsor in the Big Book for the first time in many years, and really getting so deep into the steps, and things were just opening up to me that I had never seen before. And right at this paragraph, the person I was working with had a break. So I was, that day I was ready to say the third step prayer. And this was a couple of days ago. And so I was pretty devastated because this is the third time this has happened to me. And, you know, I really want to trust the person I'm going to go on and do the fourth step with. So I took a walk along the beach, and, you know, I'm now almost 300 pounds again. I gained from 124 in relapse. I'm walking with a cane. I'm 66 years old. I have a lot of medical issues from obesity. But I know the disease is between my ears. And here I am walking on a beach looking for sea glass and meditating with a cane and a cape because I don't have anything that fits me. I'm praying, and the thought came into my mind because of how I was raised. Well, you know, I remember, you know, God, you told the apostles to just throw their nets over and they would get a whole bunch of fish. And I have this little cup, and sea glass is very hard to find now. And the tide was high, and it wasn't a really good time of day to go find it. I was picking up little shards and just praying. And this man was working on a dock, and he looked up and he called me and he said, "Are you looking for sea glass?" And I said, "Oh, yes." And, you know, and as I was praying, I said, "Oh, Lord, can't you just fill up my coffee cup with sea glass," which would be impossible. He goes, "Wait a minute." And he goes inside a yacht club where I was walking along there. And about 5 minutes later, he comes out with this huge jar of sea glass. And he hands it to me. He said, "Here, this jar is at least 30 years old. You can't open it." And I'm looking at the sea glass in this jar, and it's, like, incredible. So anyway, it was a sign to me that God is with me. We're trying to find someone to help me go on now. And so anyway, my 3 minutes is up. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Linda G. And thank you, everyone who has shared. And we will now transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Alice G. please read a vision for you?
Good morning. This is Alice G., recovered compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.